Kevin Huntel with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show, and we're talking about securities today. And Jeff, every single business has to raise money at some point in their organization, and what things, what considerations, what things do you have to worry about in the process of raising money?
Well, Kevin, the biggest thing is to make sure that you comply with the federal securities laws and the state securities laws. And it doesn't matter if someone says, well, I'm not selling stock, I'm selling a note. That doesn't matter. It's not a matter of what you're selling, it's how you're selling it. And the laws look at the level of solicitation you're doing to get folks to invest in your business.
Just real quickly to interrupt you, when we're talking about raising money, we're not talking here about you going to a bank and applying
Correct.
For a loan. We're talking
Correct.
About something quite different.
Yeah, we're talking about raising equity capital through private individuals or funds or companies. And let's talk a little bit about the background. Why, you know, a lot of times, why do we have this morass of laws in terms of that seemingly create additional hurdles for small businesses to raise money? And it all goes back to the stock market crash in 1929, the Great Depression, and the New Deal. And what came out of that was the Securities Act of 1933, which led to the creation of the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And for what small businesses need to know in this day and age is, if you don't want to usually come out of the box doing a public offering. Most companies don't start out from day one doing registering their securities and putting them on the New York Stock Exchange or whatever. You do it privately, and in order to do that, you have to find an exemption from registration, and you have to find one from the federal laws, and you have to find one from the state laws. And so you have to go through, and there's different criteria. Now, the term we hear a lot with from the federal side is Regulation D. That's the most common set of exemptions. You can raise anywhere from $1 million to unlimited amounts, depending on how and who you solicit.
Mm-hmm.
My rule of thumb in raising money when I advise a client is to focus on the folks that are known as accredited investors. And that's a term of art. It's a defined term in the federal securities laws. And there's a number of different ways you can be accredited. But the easiest way is to find someone that has $1 million net worth, not including their primary residence. You used to be able to include the house.
Mm-hmm.
In the wake of all the too big to fail and the real estate market crashing and Sarbanes-Oxley and Dodd-Frank, you can no longer include the value of your primary residence in with your net worth.
Ah.
Okay. So that's the key, is $1 million not including primary residence. When you do that, the disclosure requirements for those types of investors are far less.
Mm-hmm.
Just for example, in Minnesota, we have an accredited investor exemption in the state security statute that is self-executing, meaning nothing needs to be filed, nothing needs to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
Other exemptions, not the case. You may have to pay a few $100 and file a form with the state. If you're not going with all accredited investors, okay.
Mm-hmm.
The non-accredited investors, there are other exemptions where you can solicit. You can take in up to 35.
Mm-hmm.
But there are the disclosure requirements where you hear the term private placement memorandum.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly costs more for an attorney like myself to put together this document, which in short we call it a PPM.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not much different than, you know, if I'm doing an offering for a client that's soliciting only accredited investors. It might be just a subscription agreement where the investor initials how they qualify as an accredited investor. We attach a copy of the business plan and the corporate documents, and we include some risk factors and some basic information in terms of use of proceeds and things like that.
Sure.
Because their accredited investors are deemed to understand these issues, the financial issues, the investment issues, better than somebody who's not in that category.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When
you deal with a non-accredited investor, you're essentially giving them the same information, but you're packaging it different. So that's why I get more involved, because it really is a more detailed discussion of the, you know, what the business is, the use mm-hmm. of proceeds, What's it going to be? What's the capitalization before the offering, after the offering? Are you going to be diluted? Is there a risk of dilution?
Mm-hmm.
Dilution being, of course, you bring on additional investors, and then the current investors, their percentage of ownership is less because you brought more folks in.
Sure.
If there's anything like a buy-sell agreement in place, you disclose, you explain the terms and what the restrictions are on transfer. So it's a little bit more of a kind of a plain language explanation mm-hmm. to the offering, as opposed to if you're just accredited only, you're simply saying, here's a subscription agreement, you can take a look at the business plan, you can decide if you want to write a check or not.
Sure. So give us a couple examples of type of companies that you've worked with that have gone through this process that maybe help better illustrate what an organization had to go through in terms of raising funds.
Well, I've worked with a variety of different businesses in various industries. I work with a lot of breweries, and that's a very capital-intensive business.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're always looking to raise funds. In that case, you're providing providing information as to who owns stock beforehand,
mm-hmm.
What percentages,
mm-hmm.
Who are the managers, what are their biographies, what are their background. You wanted to talk about all the experience that they may have.
Sure.
They may want to hook up with someone who they know who has contacts with people. So we'll talk, like I said before, the big issue is the solicitation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you want to keep it tight. The tighter you keep it in terms of the solicitation and the less general solicitation you do, the mm-hmm. the better. We're just getting into some new law changes now where they're permitting a broader solicitation of investors, but it's not without some other strings attached. There's always strings attached with securities. It's always difficult to raise funds through equity capital, and that's why I always advise clients, go first to a bank
mm-hmm.
and see how much you can get from a bank, if you can get money from a bank, and then decide if you need more through equity capital, because it's usually expensive. You might have to provide preferential distributions. You might have to provide a percentage interest, an annual return, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just put yourself on the hook, your head on the chopping block in case of some issue that the owner's not happy about.
Sure.
A lot easier to comply with banks' covenants than a shareholder's requirements.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we had an opportunity to visit about this nonetheless, because a lot of people in business will go to a bank, and if they get turned down by a bank, can't raise enough money, usually that's where they stop rather than thinking about the possibility of this as well. Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show, chatting about securities and different ways of raising cash in your organization. We'll be back in just a moment here. Stay tuned. No matter if you're a startup organization or you've been around in business 5 years, 10 years, or maybe 20 or 30 years, you've got a business story that we'd like to hear. Hi, I'm Kevin Hunter on the Business Forum Show. If you'd like to be featured on TBFS Radio, please go to our website, thebusinessforumshow.com, and click on the link for Request an Interview. Again, the website is thebusinessforumshow.com. Or you can call our studios at 763-267-7260. Get in contact with us today. We'd love to hear your story.
Hi, I'm Russ Brainerd. Before I discovered the Spike System, I was like many Americans who had a lifelong struggle with weight. This struggle ended 10 years ago when I first began to spike, and since then I have learned how to get in the best shape of my life. What is spiking? Spiking is a healthy lifestyle that allows you to truly eat what you love and still lose and maintain weight. Strict diets actually reduce our body's natural metabolism, which explains why most dieters hit the dreaded plateau. Spiking gives our metabolism a significant boost that lasts for several days, which allows us to lose weight at an accelerated rate. So here's what a spike looks like. On spike day, you are encouraged to eat more calories than you need and enjoy whatever kind of foods you like. The other 6 days of the week, you are eat a responsible calorie amount with foods high in protein and fiber. So overall, you're in a caloric deficit, which means you lose weight. But the benefit of spiking keeps your metabolism burning strong and also gives you a mental break each week. For more information, discover the Spike System and get started on a new you today. Losing weight and living healthy was never easier and more fun than spiking. I'm Russ Brainerd, and thanks for listening.
The Army used to say, we're looking for a few good men. Along these lines, the Business Forum Show is looking for a few good business owners, men or women. You don't have to be an amazing company. You only need to have the right attitude to join an exclusive group of companies that the TBFS cast has worked with in this past year.
12 different companies in the last 12 months improved their profitability an average of 252%. That's correct, 252%. Do you think you have the right attitude to join these business owners? If you're selected, you'll learn from the best and brightest people in business today, and your company will be on its way to an amazing future. Again, the website is thebusinessforumshow.com or call our studio 763-267-7260. Again, 763-267-7260. The 250% Profit Improvement Club is looking for a few new members. Call TBFS today.
Kevin Huntel with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show, and we're talking about ways of raising cash in organizations and specifically crowdfunding. First of all, a lot of people don't know what the heck this is, Jeff. So what is crowdfunding?
Sure. Well, crowdfunding, when you think of crowdfunding, everybody thinks of the website Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. Now, Kickstarter is used for artistic projects, nonprofit projects. It isn't used for equity investing for-profit businesses. Some businesses will use it maybe to sell, you know, as a marketing thing. They might raise $4,000 or $5,000 selling some T-shirts or marketing collateral, things like that.
Sure.
But it's not used to sell ownership in their company. We've talked previously about the securities laws and how they can be cumbersome for small businesses. So in the last couple of years, particularly with the passage last year of something called the Jumpstart Our Businesses Startup Act, mm-hmm. Known as the Jobs Act. Actually, it was passed in 2012. The regulations started to come out in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a effort to relax some of these securities laws for smaller businesses. Now, securities laws exist, of course, to protect consumers, because a lot of folks lost everything, and when stock market crashes in various years, and so mm-hmm. the federal government and the state government regulate who's selling what in the marketplace so that people aren't being defrauded out of their hard-earned money.
Mm-hmm.
So in the last year, though, there's been a recognized need to try to jumpstart the ability of these new small businesses to raise capital, and there's been two things done. What the Jobs Act did was permit crowdfunding, and mm-hmm. so that's what's crowdfunding is. Someone is raising funds through some kind of an online portal, like a Kickstarter type.
Mm-hmm.
With the breweries that I work with, there's one out there called Crowd Brewed that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that people can sign up and be a part of this, and they can go on and they can log in and they can view the opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so multiple people are kicking in.
Yeah,
funds.
Yeah. There's two different things that have come about in last fall. Number one, the SEC permitted what's called general solicitation of accredited investors. Accredited investors being the heavyweights, $1 million net worth, not including primary residence. They said they amended what's called Rule 506 to add mm-hmm. a new 506C, which allows general solicitation of accredited investors, meaning mm-hmm. you can do these websites and solicit people that you've never met before. Before
sure.
it was you had to work within your own network of people, friends and family, or closely related, could be an officer or director of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you can make a broader pitch to investors, i.e. you can use a website.
Mm-hmm.
But every time there's some change in the securities laws, it looks like it's a real good thing, is going to help businesses raise money, there's always strings attached.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, when we do a subscription agreement for an accredited investor, we have representations as to how they're accredited,
mm-hmm.
and they initial it. And under the old law, which now is 506B, it's kind of a safe harbor. You're allowed to rely on those. Even if they're proved to be untruthful, you're allowed to rely on them.
Mm-hmm.
You're now allowed to make general solicitation of accredited investors, but the string attached is you have to verify yourself and do due diligence that they're accredited. So you have to review their tax returns, you have to review financial statements, you have to possibly get an opinion letter from their financial advisor
mm-hmm.
as to how they're accredited.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some of these websites these portals that are being established are being established by registered investment advisors, so they're marketing pitch is that they're the ones doing the due diligence, so the liability falls back on them
mm-hmm.
if it turns out that somebody's not accredited. Because what happens is if it turns out that somebody's not accredited, you may have just blown your exemption from registration if you mm-hmm. have somebody that's not accredited in an accredited offering. Okay, so that's why it's significant. So that's one piece of it. Now they've moved forward and they've got proposed regulations where they're going to allow equity crowdfunding. Mm-hmm. Going through web, if people can set up websites, they're going to have to get approval through the SEC to operate the website, mm-hmm. and folks are going to be able to go on and invest, even if they're not accredited. And they're going to have, so there's new, so finally, after over a year after the Jobs Act was passed, mm-hmm. The SEC finally came out with their crowdfunding proposed regulations. So that's what crowdfunding is. It's a way of raising money from the public, typically through a website, mm-hmm. Without regard to whether they're an accredited investor or a non-accredited investor.
So compared to like basic securities where you're raising equity through a accredited, but you're dealing with a single investor, mm-hmm. Really what are some of the distinctions between a typical effort to raise equity versus crowdfunding?
It's simply the breadth and depth of solicitation.
Mm-hmm.
When I typically are working with a client on raising money, they're meeting with these people face to face. They're handing them a copy of the offering document and a subscription agreement,
mm-hmm.
and meeting them one on one. Okay, obviously that process takes a lot of time.
Sure,
but that's how it's been done. The idea behind, whether it be general solicitation of accredited investors or crowdfunding, is by going to tap a bigger market via a web portal, you can raise funds faster, get your business going sooner than if you were doing the old retail, pound the pavement, shoe leather, selling the offering on the street.
Sure.
That's the idea. But of course, when you think back again to the original reason why we have the SEC and why we have state securities laws and securities divisions, they don't want just anybody out there, you know, selling securities, and basically they don't want bad actors in the marketplace. So there is still going to be a level of regulation in terms of what's being done in terms of the solicitation, the verification of whether somebody's accredited, and the actual websites themselves as to whether or not they have authority or not.
Sure. We always advise clients, Jeff, to have outside influence in their business, not just on their business planning and their strategizing within their organization, but obviously in the accounting areas and in the legal areas. Just how important is legal input into raising equity in your organization?
Absolutely essential. There are administrative penalties, there's civil penalties, and there are criminal penalties if you don't comply with those laws. It's better to pay the attorney if what they're asking for to help you than to end up in an orange jumpsuit.
Exactly. Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show talking about crowdfunding and raising funds in your organization. If you have specific questions for Jeff, you can reach him at jobrien@lohman.com. Again, that's jobrien@lohman.com. Thanks for joining us here, Jeff, to talk about this.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks for listening. No matter if you're a startup organization or you've been around in business 5 years, 10 years, or maybe 20 or 30 years, you've got a business story that we'd like to hear. Hi, I'm Kevin Hunter on the Business Forum Show. If you'd like to be featured on TBFS Radio, please go to our website, thebusinessforumshow.com, and click on the link for Request an Interview. Again, the website is thebusinessforumshow.com. Or you can call our studios at 763-267-7260. Get in contact with us today. We'd love to hear your story.
HeideGrip.com.
What's HeideGrip, you ask? Here's Don Dorsch, creator and founder of HeideGrip.
HeideGrip is self-adhesive clear silicone strips applied to the underside of any strap where it normally lands on your shoulder. The HeideGrip strips grip onto any dry surface. Not only are they strong and tear-resistant, they are incredibly flexible and conform to your shoulder, yet sturdy enough for everyday use. HeideGrip won't damage your bag or clothing and is hypoallergenic. Add HeideGrip to your bag and it will stay on your shoulder. No more slipping, sliding, or adjusting. HeideGrip works on purses, messenger bags, baby bags, gym bags, backpacks, etc. Whether you carry a designer bag or a department store bag, they all slide down your arm. With HeideGrip, your bag will finally become hands-free. Now you will be able to shop and even reach for items with ease, knowing that your bag won't slide down your arm.
For more information, visit HideaGrip.com. Again, the website, HideaGrip.com. That's HideaGrip.com. HideaGrip.com. Hi, I'm Kevin Hunter on the Business Forum Show with a few thoughts on how your customers might be viewing your organization. When Bain & Company surveyed a number of businesses and asked how their clients would rate their service, the companies stated that 80% of their clients would rate them as superior. However, when the customers themselves were surveyed, only 8% of them gave these same businesses a superior rating. That's quite a gap, but it does serve to illustrate how little companies really know about what their customers are thinking. Can you afford to run your business without knowing what issues might be causing your customers to want to leave? Can you afford to be missing out on opportunities for growth simply because you aren't talking to your clients? Of course, the answer is no. So get started today talking to your clients. And if you're not sure how to put this together or construct it, give us a call at the Business Forum Show, 763-267-7260. Or look us up on the web, thebusinessforumshow.com. We'll be happy to hook you up with resources to help you get in touch with your clients today. Hi, I'm Kevin Hunter. As host of Business Talk Radio, I get the opportunity to cross paths with some very unique owners. Scott Favilla, the owner of Computer Rangers, is a perfect example of this. He founded Computer Rangers in 2005 after working on computers for the previous 15 years. Since then, he's acquired numerous certifications to become the expert that he is today. But that's just the beginning of his story. You see, Scott is a disabled Army vet. He was deployed to the Middle East and sustained injuries that kept him hospitalized for 6 months. This didn't stop him from attending St. Cloud State University and later starting his own business. Scott Favilla isn't looking for sympathy. When he talks about Computer Rangers, he pridefully states that customer satisfaction is his number one goal, and he works tirelessly to earn his clients' business through the quality of service he believes they want and deserve. This is the attitude that has made him a successful business owner today. Scott Favilla. Find him online at computerrangers.net or call Scott today at 763-245-6042. You've been listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcasting worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, on Life 365, and on the TBFS Radio Network. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, and Allison Lindstrom, I'm Kevin Hunter. Thanks for listening.